So thank you everyone for coming today on this Easter Sunday. I know that we are doing our best to kind of keep a continuity so we don't just treat these weekly meetings and talks as sermons to be enjoyed and then quickly forgotten. So we are trying to keep the thread. So I know Alex last week gave a talk. And did you ask people to kind of do any specific kind of practice or reflection during the week?
I did not ask a specific task of the Sangha, but I did try to connect it to the prior week's talk, and hopefully people just naturally took it into their practice.
So if they had taken it naturally into their practice, what would they have been doing this past week, Alex?
I think they would have tried to be aware of how much of their life is being lived through conditioned behavior, as opposed to maybe looking at the higher aspirations of how they would like to live, and to try to make that more real, and to get out of themselves and more into their experience, and not just about the experience that they're living.
Sounds good. Yeah, so that sounds like a very key point of real spiritual life, which is to understand that the way we have always done things, and really the way we have always been, and the person that we historically identify with and think we are, may be nothing more than a conditioned person. Conditioned meaning it was created. What was it created by? Causes and conditions. What were the causes and conditions? Well, we were all born into a body. It was either male or female. We were all raised in a family, in a culture, in a ethnic, social, religious, and all these things conditioned us, right? For those of us who have memory, we know that we did not come out of our mother's womb talking and full of ideas and perceptions and belief systems, right? At least I didn't. And those, we really were not like that. But even from our earliest interactions with our parents, we were conditioned. We were already being conditioned. And as it went on, a lot of our conditioning we just absorbed. We didn't even know it was conditioning. We were young, we were little. We just were seeing things, and that's what we saw, we believed was the way to be, and we were taught, and we were molded, and all that stuff. So then we... like Alex says, we end up with a full load, as many of us do, a full load, a full personality. We each have lots of issues that we're dealing with and working through, and right, et cetera, et cetera. And Alex has pointed out, one can step out of all of that if one sees clearly and begin to chart for oneself a new way. A new way, because this old way is an historical way. It is based on the way we've always done things, the way we've been conditioned, and the way we perceive the world. And then there is something else that happens to us. Right? We learn about there are other possibilities for each of us, and how we can manifest in our life. And there may be even intimations, intuitions, voices inside ourselves that are also almost have nothing to do with our conditioning, that are speaking to us in terms of how to be in this world, right? How we want to manifest. What we really value. and to begin to lead a life of conscious intention and aspiration, and to make that the basis for our life, rather than the conditioned identification, to me is really the essence of a spiritual life. A spiritual life means a transformative life. Right? It's not a life of making things a little better. A lot of religion is just making things a little better, a little more comfortable. Right? But real spiritual life is about transformation. It opens up to us a different vision of what it means to be a human being. You know, that reminds me, are people familiar with the, in kind of formal Buddhism, the six realms? How many people don't know anything about the six realms? All right, good. So let me spend a few minutes, and those of you who know, please indulge me. So the six realms are a traditional formulation in Buddhism of like these six realms. And if you go to Asia, to Buddhist monasteries and temples, you often may see these pictures on the wall, the Wheel of Life, and you'll see these different realms presented quite graphically. And these six realms going in an ascending order are hellish realms, ghostly realms, the human realms. These are kind of the the lower realms are the hellish, the ghostly, and the animal. And then the three upper ones are the human, the titans, and the godlike beings. All right? Kind of they're often presented as if they're realms, geographic realms. But that's not really the way they're understood by the people who developed them. They're really to be understood as psychological mind states. And it's quite a sophisticated way of looking at this life. What life? Our life. Because we have to wonder. Right? We have to wonder. And especially people like ourselves, I would imagine most people here are on the continuum of things, kind of more on the idealistic side of life, more on the value-laden side of life. And we have to wonder why, with all the wonderful religious ideas and philosophical ideas and humanistic ideas and educational ideas, right, that have been present in our world for thousands of years, right? Why? Still, we live in a world where war, violence, injustice, greed, you know, indifference still is so dominant, right? It's a real question, right? Why is that? I mean, and really the world really continues on thinking we need new ideas, doesn't it? Oh, we need a new paradigm. We're always looking for new paradigms to get us out of the predicament we're in. But, you know, we've had hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of paradigms. And so those of us who are looking more deeply should wonder, well, why is it? With all these good teachings and all this good educational this and that and philosophy and religion, does the world continue to be such a mess? And seems to be getting messier, right? I mean, there are all kind of cliffs to fall over, and we seem to be hell-bent on falling over all of them as quickly as we can. So we have to ask ourselves deeply, why is that? What's the problem? Is it a lack of philosophy and psychology and religion? Or is the problem is that the focus is never on the human being? Right? And maybe the real answer is not more philosophy and psychology and education and ideas and paradigms, but really a technology that allows human beings to really know who and what they are, and to know clearly what is the situation that they live in, right? What's really is going on here? So the six realms, to me, is an interesting place to start. So you have these six realms, okay? And I'll call them psychological states. And I'll kind of go one through five and then come back to the human, even though it's kind of in the middle. But the human state is a very interesting state, and since we are human beings, it probably is the one that interests us the most. If I was talking to a bunch of chipmunks or something, it may be saving the animal realm for last. But because we're humans, we'll kind of focus on the human realm today. So at the bottom, you have hellish realm. And obviously, the hellish realm is the way we think of it when we think of someone's in hell. They're in a state of inner torment. It is usually a state of great anger, violence, hurt, sadness. I mean, it's a state of, it's a hellish state. And I think each of us either know it personally or know it in others. And it is an all-consuming state of suffering, the hellish realms. Above the hellish realms are what are called the hungry ghost realms. This is a realm of psychological realm. If you go to the temples, you'll see it's the hungry ghost is drawn as kind of this ghostly-like figure that has a very large belly, a very big mouth, and a throat that is the circumference of a pin. You see the problem. So the mind state of the hungry ghost is insatiable want. Insatiable want and a sense of need, must have. Right, it's a totally disembodied being that is just driven by its sense of inadequacy, its sense of deficiency, its sense of emptiness to fill itself up. It's always needing something to fill it up. And so this is a hungry ghost. And as you can imagine, with having a large stomach and a big mouth and a throat the width of a pin, even though the appetite is so incredible, only a tiny little bit ever gets in, right? So never satisfied. This is the realm of total non-satisfaction. And again, it is a psychological state, and it's a state we may know. It could be call it a state of addiction, perhaps. It's a state of the addict. But we know in our modern time sophistication, one can be addicted to everything because it's in our relation to it, and this neediness, and this endless craving, and this endless sense of lack and deficiency. This is the state of the hungry ghost. Above the hungry ghost is the animal realm, and the animal realm is really characterized by a kind of where only the animal nature is present. It's a very basic realm, needy realm, fundamental realm. Feed me, right? Feed me, eat. Drink, have sex with anyone. Just, you know, it's like that. It's very elemental. It's very basic. And there's no intelligence in it. There's no intelligence. There's no self-awareness. It's just very basic. Need, want. Good, like that. And we all know that part of ourselves, and we all know people who are very much like that. Now I'll skip over the human realm. Then you have, because I think these other realms are very interesting, above the human realm are the Titans. The Titans are very interesting. You know what, they're into power and control. Traditionally they're shown as kind of, because of the, this was developed in Asia a little bit in ancient times, they were, you know, they were the kings, they were the nobility, they were the generals, they were the rulers. These are the people who want power, who want power over, who everything is about strategy. And the strategy is always what? More for me. These are competitive people. These are type A's. This is a realm of type A's, we could say. And the characteristic psychological aspect of this realm is jealousy. Whew. Always looking around and making sure that I get more than everybody else, or if I see somebody who has more than me, I want it. I am deeply competitive and I want to be number one, and I'm jealous of those who have more than me. And these people are very manipulative. They can look good, they can even act compassionately, but there's always strategizing. And the strategy is always about me, power for me. Is that clear? So these are, and especially in, I think, in our kind of society, these people do quite well. They have lots of opportunities. And they're very dominant. They're dominant in business, they're dominant in the military, they're dominant in politics, right? The Titans. Power over and jealous. Now, above the Titans, we have the gods. This is not God with a capital G, these are the gods. This is a godly realm, you know. This is a life of ease and pleasure, right? Everything is nice. Everything is beautiful. We have nice clothes. We have nice perfumes. We have nice music playing. We live in beautiful homes with beautiful things. We go to beautiful places for vacation. You know, right? It's a very sensual realm. But it is a luxury, pleasure-oriented ease realm. This is what the purpose of life is. It's the realm of celebrity, right? And you know, if we're not reading about, you know, the Titans, right? We're reading about the celebrities, right? I mean, there's a whole culture of magazines devoted to these people, right? This is the Deva realm. You know what the biggest problem with the Devas have? These godlike celebrity types? Is impermanence. Drives them crazy. You see? Because even their things can break. Their things can rip. Their beauty can fade. You see? You know? You know, their $500 bottles of wine, they drink too much, it gives them a headache. You just can't keep drinking it. It's very frustrating. You know, it's difficult. And the fact that the body ages, it's very interesting in the telling of it from ancient times. The gods are also long life. You know, they go to, it's interesting. I mean, that's the way they're told. They live much longer than everybody else. You know, because they have good doctor care, and they eat the best foods, and they go to spas, you know, and they, you know what I mean? So they live longer than everybody. And in the stories, they live for hundreds and hundreds of years, right? And they stay young for long times. They have plastic surgery and all that, so they can stay young, and they can go to the spas and get all kinds of treatments. So they really have capability of looking good. But in the ancient tellings of it, it would say, one day, they smell something. It doesn't quite smell, you know, as sweet and perfumey as the smells they've already used to. And it kind of disturbs them, you know. what's that bad smell? And all of a sudden they realize it's them. And they're beginning to age and decay a little bit. You know, a little bad taste in the mouth, a little bad breath or something, you know, a little. And they freak out. Because they have done their best to create this artificial world of beauty, you know, and like celebrity, right? It's you may not stay a celebrity forever, right? Very frightening. Stage fright. So we have these five realms, these five psychological states. And I hope in my description of them, you could relate to them. Now, the human realm, as I said, is kind of in the middle of all this. And the interesting thing about the human realm, from what we were talking about earlier, is the human realm is a mix of all the other five. As opposed to the other five being very pure, right? The human realm is a mix, and different people have different mix, right? And you may look at your own mind and or the people around you, and you may go, "Oh yeah, I can tell you, a little mix of this and a little mix of that, a little bit of a hungry ghost, not too much of the hellish realms. I really try to stay away from that animal realm part of me." But I recognize that competitive type A part wants domination, control, manipulation, and I definitely like pretty things. Yeah, that's me. All these realms are considered realms of suffering. None of them deliver. None of them produce a peaceful, happy mind. And none of those lives have any meaning. That's the important thing. They have no meaning. The pursuit of power, the pursuit of control over, the pursuit of wealth, the pursuit of luxury and ease, while it may give some immediate satisfaction, does not produce happiness, does not produce a happy mind, right? You know that, right? Because why? Because the celebrities are all, you know, part of their journey is what? Rehab. I mean, what does that tell you? What it takes to maintain that. Right? And the same thing in the realms of competition and type A's and power over. Because they never have enough. Right? Right? I mean, the younger people may not remember this, but it used to be in the old days, 30, 40 years ago, that if somebody was a millionaire, right, that was a big deal. Today, that's nothing, right? Today, you want to be a billionaire, if you're anybody, right? I mean, like, what do you need $1 billion for that you couldn't do with 100 million? 10, you know? It's crazy. It's sick. But it shows you the human mind controlled by that insatiable need, you know, that's, you know, it's about, you know, I could have more than you. And you never have enough. You never have enough. Right? There may be people here who have more now than they had 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, or 30 years ago. You know, are you at peace? Or are you still worried that you don't have enough? When is enough enough? So the human realm is a mix. And within that mix, again, you see some people who are dominated by one of the realms. You meet human beings who are in hell, right? You meet human beings who are just hungry ghosts, addicts, always driven, never satisfied, always needing, wanting, always on the go, consuming, you know, right? And again, you meet human beings that are totally in the game of competition and power and money and fame and dominance or luxury and more things, right? And then you have the human realm, this mixture. But you have one more thing that is so important, that is this gift of this human realm, is that we are the only realm that has the capacity of self-awareness. So for those of you who go, oh, I've got to get rid of this mind of mine. No, you don't. You just have to use it correctly. We have this gift that the animals don't have and that people who are caught in these worlds don't have. We have the capacity to step back and to look deeply and to see the error, we could say, of our ways. We can say, oh, this doesn't, you know, I've been trying this and it doesn't make me happy. Society has been doing this, but it doesn't create peace, joy, happiness, meaning, value. So we have this incredible capacity to reflect, to self-reflect, to other-reflect. And this is an incredible capacity that this is why in Buddhism it is said, always be grateful that you are a human being. This is a precious birth. Even if you've had suffering in this life, even if you've had difficulty in this life. Because through this power of self-reflection and self-awareness, you can see your condition. You can see what's caused it, if you're willing to stop and look deeply, and therefore you can see that you have the capacity to change. Chipmunks don't think about this. Birds don't talk about this. People caught in these other realms don't reflect in this way, don't talk in this way. There's no self-awareness. So this is a wonderful capacity that we have as human beings, that we can see our condition, our situation, whether it's been for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or 40 years and 50 years, and we can see it's clearly caused. It's my pattern up to now is a conditioned pattern, and I can see it, and if you can see it, you can change it. It's as really as simple as that. But because, you know, people often say, oh, it can't be that simple. Right? There are probably people in this room who go, it can't be that simple. Why, I've been this way. You know, I've been this way for 20 years, right? 30 years, 40 years. Some people might even be here, say, 50 years. I've been this way for 60 years, right? And that the only truth is what you just said. This is the way you have been. The question is, how do you want to be? And are you willing to, you know, if you ever go to Asia or you go to a traditional Buddhist temple and you see these drawings of the six realms, and they're called the six unenlightened realms, which means there is no enlightenment in any of them, from the hellish realm up to the godly realms. There's no enlightenment in any of them. So, and if you see it's very interesting because it's a wheel, and each of these realms has their kind of, it's like a pie, and each of these realms take up 1/6, and they're nice little drawings and everything. You know, in hell there are all these miserable people, and hungry ghosts are all these ghostly, and these human beings running around doing their stuff, and titans are up there fighting and competing with each other, and the devas are up there floating around, you know, enjoying things in their silken robes. And in the middle, in the center, is the axle that it's all running on. And there is a pig, a snake, and a cock. But anyhow, a rooster. But it's all, you know, greed, anger, delusion. Right? That's what's fueling the whole thing. That's what's running. You know. Endlessly. And human beings are endlessly circling. Right? Endlessly, it's a circle. And people are going up and down. And we know it, all of us. Right? One day we're in this realm. One next day we're in that realm. You know, 1 hour we're in this realm, 3 hours later we're in that realm, you know. And we think we're getting somewhere. But we're not getting anywhere, we're just circling around. Because we wonder, well, why do I find myself back where I was, still having the same kind of mind states I had 5 or 10 years? You know, we wonder that, right? It's because we're still circling. But there, if it is interesting, in the drawings, there's a Buddha, and he's kind of pointing, and he's pointing outside the circle, and there's like a little rainbow path that kind of leads outside the circle, and then there's this kind of Buddha realm. But it's really not that otherworldly, not so much like a science fiction, you know, going to another planet or something. But I think the truth of that is that the pointing is out of the realms. That as long as we are stuck, fixated on this unsatisfactory journey through these six realms, there is no way that we will find happiness. Happiness of any consistency. Right. But many of us don't believe that. We say we do, but we really don't. We like, you know, we're bargainers. The truth is, we'd like to keep as much of the stuff that we like in the realms. Right? That's the truth. Even though the truth is, everything that we have, we will leave. These bodies that we totally identify with, these bodies that we wash and bathe and perfume and just got a haircut, you know what I mean, clip the hair and, you know, get new clothes and, you know, always looking in the mirror, see how we're looking. This body we just have temporarily. Right? All of us will leave this body. And as soon as we leave this body, whether we're young and old, whatever we do, all our concerns, all our worries, or our obsessions about it will all be meaningless, right? And all our possessions and all our, I mean, everything, all our relationships, we will leave. We're all in these things just very temporarily, aren't we? And that's just the truth. And so we have to not, you know, that's not a bad thing. That's just a fact. And it's a fact that should keep us in balance. So we don't become too obsessive, compulsive about our life. And the ups and downs and backs and forths, the needs and wants, etc., of our life. And the dramas of ourself. Because at the center of these six realms, these six psychological states, is ourself. It's his or her journey. Because he or she wants to be happy. Right? He or she doesn't want to suffer. He or she really would like to have meaning happiness, peace of mind. But the trouble is we're trying to find it within these mind states. And all that does is endlessly produce, at the end of the day, a sense of dissatisfaction. Something's missing. Because we're not really touching authentic living. We're not really in touch with ourselves. We're not really doing what we're really meant to do here. You know, from a Buddhist perspective, a traditional perspective, we are here in this life to wake up. That is why we're here. We are here to wake up out of this dream of these six realms and the false promises of these six realms and to see clearly that who and what we are is much more than this person endlessly driven by conditioning, endlessly driven by needs, endlessly driven by the melodramas of ourself, and that there's another whole life that is available to us. An awakened life means, it doesn't mean we're off in some other realm, it means we're right here, but we are awake, we are enlightened, the light bulb is on, we see clearly. And when you see clearly, you realize the only thing you're here for is to what? Is to lead a life of wisdom and compassion. Right? That's all. And to help as many people as you can. See that too. And when you have a world of people who understand that and who understand their conditioning, understand their connection to one another and really care for one another and care for their planet. All these problems of war and violence and ecological disasters will change because the human being has changed. Which brings us back to where we started today, to why we sit, why we struggle to calm and quiet our body and mind. Why we want to learn to live in mindfulness so we can see clearly. So we can connect authentically with ourselves, with each other, with our planet, with nature, you know, all those things. And mindfulness is that, you know, mindfulness is not Buddhist. That's crazy. Mindfulness is a capacity of every human being's mind, whatever they call themselves. So is wisdom. So is compassion. So is love. These are all just, you know, these are just aspects of the human mind. And when we understand that this is what life is about, this is where real meaning and value is. And even though, we have relationships, we have family, we have jobs, and all these things, as all human beings do, it's about how do we enter all these arenas of relationship, of family, of friendship, of work, of society, and see them as all means to awake, right? To become, an authentic human being. Are there any questions or comments? This is all in response to Alex's talk last week.
Well, you know, you asked me earlier if I did challenge the, or give the suggestion for what to do after the last talk, and it was something that I did way to think about it, and that was to be a mind warrior for their conditioned mind, and that they do it actively and not passively.
Right, so just for the sake of the recording, Alex is saying he now recalls that he did make a suggestion at the end of his talk that the participants become mind warriors. And really take that kind of mind state into their life in relationship to their conditioning. So again, your conditioning is all your stuff. All the things you think you are, all the things you think you aren't, all the things you identify yourself as, all your issues, all your stuff, all your past, all that, that's conditioning. And if you learn to look deeply into your mind, you will see your conditioning, which from one point of view seems so big. Right? People talk about their issues like, this is big, Fred. This is big, you know, I really got big stuff inside. You know, have you ever noticed that, how big our issues are to us? I mean, everybody else, they're no big deal. Right? But to us, whoo, if you could only see them, how big they are. Right? I mean, they just, you know. I mean, I can't do a thing with them, right? They're so big. And then when I ask people to say, well, can you show me them? You know, can you just take it out? I mean, something as big as this, I'd love to see. Can you take out this big issue of yours and show me? And they look at me like I'm crazy, right? Now, why do they look at me like I'm crazy? Because all of a sudden when you say that to them, they'll go, well, I can't show it to you because it's in my mind, right? I get a big, big issue, so big, so overwhelming, but when somebody wants to see it, I can't show it to them because it's in my mind. Oh, you mean it's really not real? Let me get this straight. You have this big, big thing that controls your life, but you can't show it to anybody, nobody else can see it, and when you look for it, you can't find it either, because it's not really real. Is that right? Or am I missing something? Next time your issue comes up, stop and turn around in your mind and look right at it and see what it is. It may not be what you think it is. It may not be what you think it is, what you perceive it as. That's why mindfulness and looking deeply is the key to liberation. Because all you need to do, everybody here, just stop. And rather than being driven by your issue, your stuff, your mood, or whatever it is, if you stop, relax, and turn around in your mind and look right at it, you may be surprised at what you see. And again, you've heard me say before, it is very much like the Wizard of Oz. Right? You remember Dorothy? Right? If you asked Dorothy, she said, "Woo, I got a big terrifying wizard. Scaring the hell out of me." Remember? It's big. Smoke. Deep voice. Right. When he talked, do you remember the movie? They all, whew. Tin Man, the lion, you know? Everybody frightened. This big, big, big wizard. But when they looked deeply, what was it? It's a profound movie, profound story. When they looked deeply, When they pulled back the curtain to see what was behind this form that looked so scary, what was it? What was it, Bill?
Old guy.
Just a little old guy with a microphone. And was he embarrassed? Because they could now see what was really there. Right? It was like, no, keep looking over the, you know, keep looking over there. Don't look at me. It's like that. So mindfulness is that capacity to stop and look at your own stuff and see it as it really is. It's not that big. It's not that solid. I mean, how big is your head? I mean, people say, where is your issue? It's in my head. Well, your head isn't that big. I mean, where in your head is it? It's in my brain. Well, where in your brain is it? I mean, you know, and you, I mean, if you follow this through medically, where would you end up? I mean, how big is a thought? How big is a memory? I mean, it's nonsense. And yet we let this nonsense run us ragged, control our behavior, control our reactions, poison our relationships. There is another way. It's a simple way, it's a direct way, it's a proven way for thousands of years, and it delivers. It does produce happiness and well-being and ease and peace. But it's only for those who want to wake up, which is a very personal. That gets very personal, doesn't it? It brings it back to us, to each of us, and our life, and our relationships, in our moment-to-moment living, you know, what realm am I choosing in this moment to live in? It's a good question. And to know that you have a choice is important.